The scripture reading is from 1 Chronicles, chapter 12, one verse. 1 Chronicles, chapter 12, verse 32. And this is the verse. Of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200, and all of their brethren were at their command.
Good evening. I'm so glad to have the opportunity. Can y'all hear me? We good? Okay. So glad to have the opportunity to speak to you tonight. So glad to be asked to have this opportunity. One of the things that I've enjoyed most when I worked at the congregation before was the opportunity to speak on occasion. And so now that I'm working with the college program again, you're going to have to check the bulletin to see when I might surprise you, and you can, you know, lay out and watch the football game or something. Glad to have the opportunity to speak to you tonight. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12 that Steve just read for us, in the whole chapter, we see a pretty impressive list of mighty men of war. And as you kind of read through this list, you start to see, it starts to seem like a movie. You see a bunch of different men coming to assist David, and they're all bringing different skills to the table. It says there was archers. It says there was men who could sling stones with either hand. Verse 8 talks about the sons of Gad who were experts with a shield and with a spear, and it says they could run like gazelles. There were 50,000 seasoned troops of Zebulun equipped with weapons of war. And so you start to get the image of all these men coming to assist David. And it almost is like a movie. And you can almost imagine them saying, "Hey, where are you from? What do you do?" "Well, I run like a gazelle," or "I can throw a rock with both hands." And all these guys, you know, have their different skills. But then we see the men of the house of Issachar. Mighty men, who in verse 32, as Steve read for us, it says they had an understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. You know, as Christians, we're always at war, and most of the battles we fight are internal battles against temptation, against our own selfishness, against weakness with our self-control. And when it's the time for battle, it's all hands on deck against Satan, isn't it? Whatever we can throw at him with both hands, we have to be experts with the shield to guard ourselves from temptation. We have to run like gazelles when temptation appears and starts creeping into our lives. But it's also very effective and very necessary in this battle for us to be like the sons of Issachar and have an understanding of what's going on around us so that we can understand what it is that we need to do. The last few times I've been asked to speak, sometimes I feel like maybe I'm a son of Issachar because I can't help but to talk about what's going on in the news. And every time I'm asked to speak, I feel like my lessons are always ripped from the headlines, and tonight's no different. Last week, you were probably as disgusted as I was to hear the story of Larry Nassar, the doctor who took advantage of over 150 young athletes for Michigan State, and most notably for the USA Olympic gymnastic team. Michigan State's now facing over 140 lawsuits. USA Gymnastics has lost many prominent sponsors in the wake of not only the news that Nassar had been abusing these young athletes for decades, but also stories from the Indianapolis Star and from ESPN that showed that allegations were made over the years, and people dismissed them. And people came forward, and they were not reported to the proper authorities for years and years, and it allowed and enabled Nassar to prey on his young victims for literally decades. And you look at something like that and say, how can that happen? How can people allow that to happen? It's so sad to think that there are adults in the world that can knowingly allow children to be harmed. But through the ESPN article, I think, pointed out that the abuse was allowed because there's such a high value placed on Olympic gymnastics that the gymnasts themselves were dehumanized and devalued into being just a body with amazing abilities. Not a human who could perform on the vault or on the rings, but a body engineered and trained to execute exact mechanics on the rings and on the vault. Not a human, but a machine programmed to win Olympic medals. And when allegations were made that Nasser was abusing these athletes, the allegations were dismissed because to them, Nasser wasn't abusing athletes or children or human beings. These were just bodies. These were just bodies. And when we hear other stories in the news lately about how prominent men have taken advantage of women, it's because in the eyes of these men, these women are just bodies that they want in that moment. And tomorrow marks the 45th anniversary of Roe versus Wade. And if you look in our country, the number of abortions that have been performed every day in our country, it's because there are people that look at that human life in the womb and say, it's just an unwanted fetal body, nothing more. What does a Christian do when this is our understanding of the world we live in? What would the sons of Issachar, who were supposed to understand the times, to know what they could instruct Israel to do, what would they do if this was their understanding? I think our reaction is that we need to be able to lead by example, to show the world that we are a people who realize that every person is more than a body, to show the love and respect of Christ to every person that we come in contact with. But just as scary as knowing that there are people who exist in the world that would place no more value on a human being than just being a body, just as scary as that is when people start to believe this terrible false notion that they're nothing more than a body themselves. It's okay for terrible things to happen to me because I'm just a body. I have no value other than just my body. And social media has taken this awful idea and ran with it. And young people today spend tons of money getting the perfect clothes, the perfect hair, the perfect eyeliner, and tons of time starving themselves and spending hours in the gym for that one perfect picture that they can post on social media that screams out to the world, look at my face, look at my clothes, look at my body, I have value. As Christians, our message to the world needs to be God's message, and that is, you are more than just a body. So I want to take a few minutes tonight, and we're going to go pretty quick through these points. We don't have PowerPoint tonight, so if you'd like to write them down, I'll make sure to call them out for you. We're going to look at a few points that shows us that God believes that we're more than just a body. First, we're more than a body because we are created in the image of God. We're more than a body because we're created in the image of God. David asks in Psalm 84, verse 4, what is man that you are mindful of him? And God says, we're children of the Almighty God. Genesis 1, 26 says, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. You know, children will always bear the image and the likeness of their parents. In fact, just a few minutes ago, someone was looking at my kids and talking about how much they look like Amanda, look like their mother. And I was thinking, well, good for them. Because God bless my kids, they can't deny me either. And especially Evie, and I don't understand how a little girl can be so beautiful and still look so much like me. But there's something God-like about us as human beings, about every single one of us. There's aspects of us that reflect our Father, that reflect our Creator, that reflect His image. And when we read about this, we see that only man and woman were made in the image of God. No other creature can make this claim. We're more than a body because we're made in the image of God. Number two, we're more than a body because we were created to rule over the rest of creation. Genesis 1:28 says, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food, and it was so. Now, he says early on, subdue the earth. What does that mean? That's a big word for me. I had to look it up. Subdue, I read, is means to overcome. It means to bring under control, and sometimes to bring under control by force. And that made sense to me, and I think about like James Hunt and all the work he does to make our landscaping here look good. Sometimes that work to subdue those gardens and those weeds, sometimes you have to subdue it by force. Every summer, I'm on the top of my hill in my backyard subduing a bunch of ivy by force, and it's not fun. But that's what God calls us to do. There's natural leaders in the animal kingdom. The lion is called the king of the jungle, right? And movies, if you have children, you've seen The Lion King probably hundreds of times. And The Lion King shows how the lion rules all over all the other animals in nature. But in reality, it's man that reigns supreme over all the animals. And it's that way because God made it that way. And there's misguided people today that will say that the life of an animal is just as important, if not more than important, than the life of a human. But from the dawn of creation, God shows us this simply isn't so. Because God created us to rule over creation, we're more than just a body. Okay, number three, we're more than just a body because we are created for a relationship with our Creator. God reveals himself to man because he wants a relationship with us. Romans chapter 1 verse 20 says, his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they were without excuse. God reveals himself to us because he wants to show us who he is. He wants to have a relationship with us. Over and over again throughout the Bible, we see God called the Father and illustrated as the Father. And Jesus in parables shows him as the Father. We know in Luke chapter 15, the parable of the prodigal son, we see the loving Father who runs to meet his son who had run away and decided to live life on his own. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. God wants to hear us. God wants to save us. But too often, we're the ones that create the gap in the relationship. He wants to have a relationship with us. Just as a child was designed to have a relationship with their mother or father, we were designed to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. You know, we have no evidence that to believe that God keeps this kind of relationship with any animals. In fact, in Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus is in the Sermon on the Mount teaching how to live without worry, he talks about, he reminds us that God takes care of the birds, right? And what does he add when he says that? He says, are you not of more value than they? Well, of course we are. God created us with more value than the birds. We are made for relationship, and we are more valuable because we're more than a body, because we're created for that relationship with the Father. Okay, number four, we're more than a body because our Creator knew us in the womb. Isaiah 44, verse 24 says, thus says the Lord your Redeemer, who formed you from the womb, I am the Lord who made all things. Psalm 71, verse 6 says, upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You who took me from my mother's womb, my praise is continually of you. Psalm 139, 13 and 14. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And Jeremiah 1, verse 5, one that almost gives me chills sometimes. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. God knew us before our parents knew us. God knew who we were. We're more than a body to God because God knew us when we didn't even have a body. As our body was developing, God knew us. We're so much more than a body. We're so much more than a body to God. We're more than a body because we were created for a purpose. There in Jeremiah 1 verse 5, it says when he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And it says, before you were born, I consecrated you. He tells Jeremiah, I appointed you a prophet to the nations. We were created with a purpose in mind. And Esther chapter 4, verse 14, we all know the story where Mordecai says to Esther, who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Every day we're placed in situations to represent our Father, to represent His Son. We have a purpose in life. Solomon says, here's the purpose. Solomon says, let me tell you, the purpose is not money. It's not fame. It's not sex. It's not social media photos, and it's certainly not your body, because Solomon's done all that. He says in Ecclesiastes 12, 13, it says, the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God, keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. We're more than a body because we're created for a purpose. We're created for a purpose to fear God, keep His commandments. We're more than a body because we're created with a line of communication to the Creator. James 5:16 says, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. In Matthew 6, verse 5, Jesus teaches how to pray. He says, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. We pray, God will hear us. And the line of communication is not just one way. We can communicate to God, but God can speak to us every single day through His Word if we open it up and study for Him. Animals don't have this communication with God. And God did not send His Word to any other member of creation other than us. We're more than a body because we're created with a line of communication with our Creator. We're more than a body because we were created with a mission. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20 says, Jesus came to them and said, all authority has been given to me on heaven and earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We're created to teach God's saving message to others. And that's a powerful responsibility. It's amazing to see how creative people can be in using their different abilities to do this. Tim was talking this morning about some who've gotten involved in the prison ministry as pen pals, communicating with some of these prisoners. And I remember when I was really young, my grandmother, whose body had failed her so many times over the years, to where she lived most of her life in a chair. My grandmother used to crochet hundreds of hats and scarves and blankets for missionaries to take to Russia. Hundreds, if not thousands, of these hats and scarves and blankets were used to introduce Jesus to people who didn't know Him. My grandmother's body was almost useless, but she was so much more than a body, because she knew that she was created with a mission. We're more than a body because we were created for life after death. John 3:16 tells us, we all know this verse, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. 1 John 5:13 says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Our bodies are mortal. Our bodies are not designed to live after this earth. But we are. We're designed to live so much longer. And after our bodies have given up, and after our bodies are ready to rot, we can be living so much longer. We're more than a body because we're created for life long after a need for a body. God shows us in so many ways that we're more than our bodies. And yet many times it's very easy to get very caught up in our body. Not in the physical appearance necessarily of our bodies, but in what pleases our bodies, what pleases us, what makes us comfortable, everything in the world, we get caught up with that sometimes. As Jesus is sending out his disciples in Matthew chapter 10, he tells them in verse 28, don't fear those who can kill your body, but cannot kill your soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. You know, we oftentimes think about, I don't want to be uncomfortable. I don't want to do something that's dangerous. I don't want to do something that's going to put me in harm's way. And Jesus says, you know what? Don't fear the things that can hurt your body. Fear the things that can trip you up and make you lose your soul too. We are more than a body. We're created for something more. And you know, with everything going on in the world today, we need to be so vigilant to teach our young men that females are not just bodies. They're created in the image of God. We need to teach them, don't ever let someone treat a woman like they're nothing more than a body. And we need to teach our daughters, you're not just a body. You're so much more. God created you with so much more value and worth that cannot be seen in a single social media photo. God makes this point abundantly clear to us. And you think about what greater example can he show to say that we're more than just a body than to allow his own son to be beaten and abused and spat upon and murdered on a cross. The body of his own son died on the cross. But we know that Jesus was much more than a body. And we praise God that he is much more than a body. And we praise God that we are much more than a body. Because if we're a faithful child of God, then this body and all its ailments and all its pain and all the discouragement and depression and scars and sickness and everything that comes with this body is temporary. It's so temporary. And if we're a faithful child of God, after a very short stay here on this earth, we can rid ourselves of this old body. And eventually it's going to rot in the ground and we can live a life so much better than the best things we can imagine on this earth. If you aren't a faithful child of God, won't you be tonight? Believe his word, repent of your sins, confess Jesus as God's son, and allow your body to be buried in water to wash away your sins. Whatever we can do to help you, please come forward as together we stand and sing.